Good morning. This is Mark Venn with a service of morning prayer from the Book of Common Prayer for the Sunday, Trinity 3. I'm recording this on a lovely sunny morning. On the website you will also find links to a reflections and prayer session with David Minns and Holy Communion with Arthur Champion. Have a moment of quiet before we start. Psalm 56 says, I am under vows to you, O God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. The sacrifices of God, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, I will not despise. Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Dearly beloved, the scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent, and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany with a pure heart and humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace, saying with me, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouths shall show forth thy praise. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. The Venite. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us heartily rejoice in the strength of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and show ourselves glad in him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are all the corners of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands prepared the dry land. O come, let us worship and fall down, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is the Lord our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our first reading from the Old Testament is taken from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 to 9. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of all the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfil the words that you have prophesied and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. But listen now to this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. Here ends the first lesson. Our psalm of the day comes from Psalm 69. Your love, O Lord, for ever will I sing. From age to age my mouth will proclaim your faithfulness. For I am persuaded that your love is established for ever. You have set your faithfulness firmly in the heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David my servant. I will establish your line for ever and preserve your throne for all generations. Happy are the people who know the festal shout. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence. They rejoice daily in your name. They are jubilant in your righteousness. For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favour our might is exalted. Truly our Lord is our ruler. The Holy One of Israel is our King. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our second reading from the New Testament comes from Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 12. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here ends the second lesson. The Jubilate. O be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with a song. be ye sure that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. O go your way into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and speak good of his name. For the Lord is gracious, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth from generation to generation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. O Lord, show thy mercy upon us, and grant us thy salvation. O Lord, save the Queen, and mercifully hear us when we call upon thee. Endue thy ministers with righteousness, and make thy chosen people joyful. O Lord, save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Give peace in our time, O Lord, because there is none other that fighteth for us, but only thou, O God. O God, make clean our hearts within us, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Almighty God, you have broken the tyranny of sin and have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, whereby we call you Father. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that we and all creation may be brought to the glorious liberty of the children of God. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. O God, who art the author of peace and lover of concord, in knowledge of whom standeth our eternal life, whose service is perfect freedom, defend us, thy humble servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in thy defence, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through the might of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance, to do always that is righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We share the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, be with us all, evermore. Amen. Our first reading came from the prophecy of Jeremiah, where we had Jeremiah and the prophet Hananiah in discussion. And this incident took place at around the time of the exile, when many from Judah were carried off to be slaves in Babylon. And Hananiah was prophesying the end of the exile, saying that in 2 years the exiles would return, and also the vessels that were taken from the temple would be returned. Jeremiah was saying, yes, may the Lord do this, but when will it happen? If Hananiah's prophecy comes true, then you will know that the Lord was with him. But in fact, it didn't come true. Yes, the exiles did return, but it wasn't for 70 years. But I really want to talk a little bit about our second reading from Paul's epistle to the Romans. Slavery, of course, has been much in the news recently. We've seen reports and news flashes of people pulling down statues of people connected with the slave trade. Now, I'm not going to talk about where we should stand on pulling down the statues. I'm sure we have our own viewpoints. The Bible itself often speaks of slaves and slavery. There's many rules in the Old Testament Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And in the New Testament, Paul and Peter often refer to slaves and slavery. Interestingly, they don't ever say that it's wrong. What they focus on instead is the individual attitudes of both slaves and of owners. And their concern isn't to overthrow or change the social order, but rather that Christians should live lives honouring to God, whether they were slaves or owners. If we look at the definition of a slave, it's one who is owned as the property of someone else, especially in involuntary servitude. This, of course, is our modern understanding of it from the 18th, 19th century slave trade. In biblical times, there was certainly an element of this. It depended a little bit on the nationality and how slaves were acquired, whether they were through war or there were a number of other ways in which slaves could be arrived at. But in biblical times, the definition is more closely aligned to one who is subservient to or controlled by another or by a specific influence. Some slaves, with those involved in manual labour particularly, did inevitably suffer harsh conditions, but otherwise some had very responsible positions. The stories that would come out of Babylon, we have both Daniel and Nehemiah, for example, in great positions of responsibility. And slaves could be part of the family. They could be quite responsible in biblical times. And for the Hebrews, the Jews, it was accepted that slavery was not God's ideal, but under certain circumstances it was permitted with restrictions, and there are some very set rules in the Old Testament times, in Exodus, Leviticus, how slaves could be treated and how they could obtain their freedom. Some Old Testament slavery, for example, came about because if somebody was in debt, they could sell themselves into servitude, indentured servitude, if you like, for a set period. And there were strict rules. After 6 years, they had to be set free and they could pay off their debts that way. The fundamental difference between slavery in biblical times and our current understanding is that in biblical times, slaves were not chattels. The owners owned the labour of the slave, but not the person of the slave. And that puts a whole different complexion on things. But of course, slaves or servants, as the word is sometimes translated as, were obviously subservient to, or they were controlled by, someone else. Even though their person, their body, might not be owned by the owner. And Paul, in our second reading, uses slavery as a metaphor. Naturally, we are subservient to, we are controlled by, our sinful natures. But as children of God, we're subservient to, we're controlled by obedience and righteousness. So our drive is not to satisfy ourselves and our appetites, and we note that these are not always our physical appetites, leading to things like gluttony. They can be mental, emotional appetites, How often have we passed on a juicy bit of gossip, for example? So the drive isn't to satisfy ourselves, but to satisfy and to honour our Saviour. As Paul says, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. As children of God, our hearts are changed, and we live our lives not to ourselves, but to Christ. The bad news, of course, is we are still human, and the old nature keeps rearing its head from time to time. So perhaps today we should be examining ourselves and asking God to show us, is any part of our life a slave to impurity? If so, let's give it over to God and be cleansed, be clean, and become a slave, more of a slave, to righteousness and sanctification. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for working in us, changing our hearts, giving us new directions, new impetus to follow in the way of Christ. Help us, we pray, in our journey, and in particular, show us where we are subservient to or controlled by things not of you, where we are slaves to impurity. Give us grace to overcome these areas, to set them aside, so that we might follow Christ more closely and bring honour and glory to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We think of the Queen and the Royal Family, members of Parliament. Lord, the God of righteousness and truth, grant to our Queen and her government, to members of Parliament, and all in positions of responsibility, the guidance of your Spirit. May they never lead the nation wrongly through love of power, desire to please, or unworthy ideals, but laying aside all private interests and prejudices, keep in mind their responsibility to seek to improve the condition of all mankind. So may your kingdom come and your name be hallowed. And we do pray especially for wisdom for our government in these difficult times. May the decisions they take be right, be good, and motivated through compassion and honesty and wisdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We think of the world. We think of those areas where there is conflict. Middle East, Libya, Afghanistan, so many places, Lord. We think of the political situation with some countries breeding aggression and instability. We think of China and Russia in particular. We think of areas where there are hardships. Think of the locust plagues in East Africa and areas where there is famine. And Father, we pray for a humane world where people act with mercy, with compassion, with justice, and with humility for the good of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray too for our community. We thank you for the peace we have here and for the freedom to worship, even though we can't meet together at present. We thank you for the beauty of the countryside and your creation. Help us to be good stewards of your creation, to look after it, to treasure it. And we think of those too in need, those in adversity. And especially as the lockdown eases, may we continue to be vigilant, to keep looking after those who are vulnerable, those needing help. And we do pray for the sick, that you'll bring healing, that you'll bring peace, you'll bring a special touch from your Son, our Saviour. And Lord, thank you so much for everything you've done for us, everything you've given us in putting us here. We just pray that you will help us to honour your name, to live lives worthy of you, to give glory to your Son and yourself. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen.